Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
Hello and welcome to TMC Connect. We'll get started in just a minute.
Tony, you got some music we can play?
I know, right? I always feel like I should start humming that theme to Jeopardy or something like that.
Or the girl from Ipanema, like some elevator music.
Yeah. Or we could all just try and be as still as possible and look like we're just frozen.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I've got something for you. So as you guys come into the meeting, tell us what the temperature is, where you are right now.
Y'all don't want to know.
Let's see who can win. Because I think we're at 106. So who can beat Dallas, Texas area at 106?
Pretty much anyone.
Amy Jo can beat it.
Right there with you.
There it goes.
I want to be in Bellingham. I'm going there. I'm going to Washington right now.
That's amazing.
Right now. That's just, they're just being, yeah.
Matt, you might win just because, like, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being here today. My name is Tony Bramley, and I am the Director of Business Development for the Mortgage Executive, and you are in TMC Connect. We have got an exceptional session for you today from our fantastic preferred partners, Maxwell. Before we get started, just want to kind of give you guys a couple of things. You are on mute, but we do want this to be interactive, so please feel free to drop questions in the chat or the Q&A now that we know that everybody knows where it is. We will take those as they go through the presentation. Today, we're going to be navigating the shifting landscape with insights from Maxwell's Q2 2023 mortgage lending report. So thank you guys for being here. There'll be a follow-up email tomorrow. There'll be a link to the full report in that email, as well as a link to the video for this session. And without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Amy Jo.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Tony. Welcome, everyone. I'm Amy Jo Plummer. I'm the VP of Customer Success at Maxwell, where we partner with over 400 lenders and across the nation, basically providing them with solutions to win over more of their borrowers in their communities. So today, we've got an amazing panel here for you, and we're going to provide you with a really comprehensive understanding of the shifting dynamics that we're seeing within our data in the mortgage landscape, drawing from the insights that Josiah will talk about in just a minute and give us an overview. What are we seeing? What are the trends? Who's buying? Who's still active? But it's not just about that data. It's about, what do you do with that data? How do you use it? How do you unravel it and create actionable insights that help drive your business? And that's part of course, why we have Chris Ledwidge here with us, who will give us some of those examples about how that drives his business and how he's using data today. And we'll delve into kind of some of those unexpected pieces of data also that came from that report and explore the significance of the expansive data site that Maxwell has with our MMI products, and the innovative strategies that we all think this will lead to in our mortgage landscape. So let's dig in and let's get some quick intros from you guys. Chris, why don't we start with you, please?
Hi, my name is Chris Ledwidge. I'm the EVP of retail production here at The Lender.
Thanks, Chris. Brian?
Hey, everybody. Brian Traeger. I'm the Managing Director of Corporate Development at Maxwell. I get the pleasure of working with Josiah and Amy Jo every day. And Chris, good to see you again. It's been, we've gotten to know each other over the years, and I still just reminisce of the first time we met face-to-face at a mortgage conference in Vegas at a Skyline. Happy hour. Take me back.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, Josiah, and it's a great segue into Josiah's sort of introducing some of the data as well. So Josiah.
Yeah, sure. Josiah Feuerbacher. I'm a principal product manager at Maxwell, and I work with a talented team of data analysts and data engineers. And we've been working over the past couple of years to put together a data warehouse using our data from our lenders to be able to do what we're doing today, which is really look at that information. We have over $200 billion worth of loan volume represented in this report. And the report itself gives you a glimpse under the hood of what we look at on a regular basis, the numbers that we're thinking about, and where we see things going in the future. So with that, we'll tee it up with a little bit that you'll see in this report. I'm going to send a link out now. So check out the webinar chat. This will let you download the report itself. It will also go out. If you don't get to it, it will go out after after the webinar as well. But open that up. We're just going to look at the first start of it in the loan volume section. And then we'll, throughout the discussion, we'll no doubt talk about other nuggets from this report. So just teeing up kind of what we've seen over the last few quarters, not a surprise here in terms of overall loan volume. We saw those highs in 2022. Everybody wants to go back to that time. We've seen it though, kind of the important note here is we've seen it level off over the past three quarters, seen kind of this this leveling effect of the industry, which is not surprising. If you looked prior to 2022, the refinance boom was an outlier in the overall industry. So this dip is not surprising. Went lower than anybody wants it to, but the leveling off is what we've seen. And then corresponding interest rates staying up and around that 6.8 range. We've seen it jump over 7 over the course of the last couple of weeks here, but seeing that trend stay steady as well. So with that, going to dig in today and look at some of the other numbers, what these and other numbers mean as it relates to our industry.
Thanks so much, Josiah. I really appreciate it. And like Josiah said, the link to this information is in the chat, and I'll share back and forth with some of the data that we have pulled up here. But you know, basically with the loan amounts, you know, Chris or Brian, with the either the loan amounts or the trends, and I'll pop up this emerging borrower segments here, would be really cool to understand from the two of you what stands out the most from this data. And I'll go back to sharing my screen a little bit here while you do.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start, just primarily thinking through the interest rate side. It's funny, like we've been asked a lot, like, is 7% interest rates the new normal? Is that what we're supposed to get used to? And it makes me think of two quick quotes that I'll share. And one I found on Twitter not too long ago. He goes, if you knew what interest rates would do, you wouldn't be a loan officer. You wouldn't really be in our industry. You'd be trading bonds. And, you know, after a couple months of that, you'd be living on a yacht. And so what does that really mean, a new normal? Nobody quite knows. So just keep that in perspective as things are always kind of changing. And the other quote that I heard also recently was, you know, everybody who's buying a house right now is justifying it by saying, well, you know, rates will come down, so right, I can just refi then. And that quote right there is like why rates are so high to begin with in their theory. So I thought that was pretty funny. It made me think a little bit more. It's like, I challenge myself to withdraw things in my life that are normal or assumed. Like, for example, I'll try to go a couple of weeks without TV or a month without eating cheese. I freaking love cheese. Just a way to take a step back and make sure that I'm making the decisions and not anything else. And so the quote reminds me of like, maybe the Fed is taking a similar approach and just saying like, hey, everybody should go, you know, vegetarian for a month and eat your vegetables, people. But we'll get back to it. So I thought those two pieces were quite interesting and as it relates to interest rates specifically. But Chris, would love to hear your input on volume here and rates as well.
Well, I'm looking at this right now and I see first time home buyer share since 2021 is up 48%, right? And then I kind of look at that and I think, well, why is that? And I think that's partly due to the lock-in effect, where the whole percentage of that market that's represented by the move-up buyer didn't really exist in this selling season and was probably even diminished last year when people were, you know, refinancing in the threes and fours. So naturally, the first-time home buyer is going to grow and represent a bigger part of that market. Well, how do I adjust with that? I might look at more DPA-type programs, right? Because it's not like the overall volume of production grew. If anything, we all know it shrank. But we're now knowing that, you know, first-time home buyers are making up a bigger percentage of what volume is left over. So maybe I need to focus a little attention on DPA products, high LTV type products. So something to, and I don't think that lock-in effect that we're going to get any reprieve from that for quite some time. So we've got to be able to bring the products to the people that are representing the majority of that, or a growing segment, or a good chunk of that marketplace. So that's what I see when I see like the first-time home buyer piece. As far as the rates and the new normal conversation, these things are trends, right? It's trends and normal don't necessarily, there's normal trends, but it's going to trend the other direction. And right now, I do believe we've hit the ceiling on where rates are going to be. I think the next big question is, how long are we going to live here? And, you know, we know that the Fed is a big driver of all these things, and we still have a lot of hawkish narrative and dialogue going on within the Fed. You know, one of the Fed governors saying as many as two more rate hikes. And then you've got other Fed members saying, like, look, we're good here. We got to live here. Until that dialogue and narrative shifts into a narrative about dropping rates, you know, we're going to be here. And I think we might live here a little bit longer. I think there's a good chance we live in this rate system through the, you know, spring selling season next year. And we're going to continue to live in this scarcity of inventory. So, you know, from there, I can go into a lot of tangents about what you would do. But I think that's kind of what I see when I see rates and I see emerging borrower segments in this data.
Yeah, agreed. And this helps sort of break it down even further. But, you know, for Chris, you focused in somewhat on the non-QM space. You know, does what we're viewing here feed into that strategy and or other strategies possibly pertaining to HELOCs or other products as the market shifts and as the buyer segmentation grows in different ways than I think folks maybe expected it to a little?
Yeah, I mean, you can always use data to try to hypothesize where things are going. Yes, we focus on non-QM. You know, it's a small segment of overall total mortgage production. Let's say this particular data, borrower groups of, you know, 13% of 55 to 64, that would tell me I would want to focus on reverse. I think that's a growing market, right? If you're looking at this from an age group, you want to look at that 13.4%. 55 to 64, we're starting to get into the demographic of the reverse mortgage audience. So I'd want to focus there. If I look at the lower end, the 18 to 34, I'm thinking of it completely differently. I'm thinking about, what type of technology am I using to bring to these people? This is a completely different user, completely different expectations on service and communication. So do I have the right point of sale in place to really capture them and their attention and make them a client? So the age group's a little hard for me to focus on, right? Because it's not so much a non-QM thing, but it does give me insights into things like reverse, which is something we're focusing on in the coming years. And then we have the point of sale. That is something, I am part of that age group. So when we made a decision to go with the Maxwell point of sale, is because it's like, well, what would I be thrilled to use as a consumer, and makes it easier on me? And so we are catering to that audience from a technology standpoint, but not the same way we're not going to cater the same way to a reverse audience. So that's how I could use this borrower segment of age to make informed decisions.
Thanks, Chris. And then we also, from viewing this, I think we're obviously the huge group of first-time borrowers coincides with the 93% of the 18 to 24 year olds as well. But we're also, something that's not directly in this data, seeing sort of a shift from expensive markets to more affordable markets as well. And Brian, you and I have talked a little bit about that. And how do we take advantage? How do we shift our mindset for preparing ourselves? The folks that are on the call that may not be, you know, they're not a branch manager, maybe they're working with realtors, or they're trying to invest in relationships. How do you keep that shift in that market if you've got a lot of people that are moving to different areas? What do you do?
Yeah, I've seen so many, like, friends and family, the folks that I know personally who have been getting mortgages right now,
to your point, are ones that have decided to move away from a more expensive area to a less expensive area or more affordable area. So you see the trends in migration of folks going from California to, you know, Texas or New York to Tennessee, things like that. And so you really have to think about your lead source. You can't, and this is kind of an old tune to play, but you can't just count on your friends who are buyer agents to give you the leads of, you know, right down the middle borrowers. You really have to think creatively about your deal funnel. Start following more about life events, family creation, downsizing, empty nesters, things like that. And if you are an LO or branch manager or something, and you're analyzing that funnel, it's like, you should really be trying things faster, like failing faster. So, hey, maybe you decided to invest some time in building relationships with attorneys because attorneys help with divorces or whatever it might be, these other family events that drive some transactions, but that's not panning out for you. Okay, well, move on. Try something else. Figure out what works for you. Don't just think what has worked in the past will work for you in the future, and really think about that conversion of who's giving me leads, who could give me leads. And what is that going, how those leads converting into borrowers, repeat borrowers, referrals from those borrowers, things like that. Like really analyze your business. Your company's probably not going to do that detail for you. You need to own it yourself and do it too. Because if you want to be around in this business as a leader or a top loan officer, you can't just go with what's popular right now. You have to be a leader in figuring it out for yourself and what works for you.
And we definitely hit on something that Chris wants to address, I think.
Yeah, Brian, you said like we essentially, you got to reinvent the way you're doing things. I believe it was Alec Hansen earlier this week, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I hope I don't butcher it. But essentially the message is, imagine you forgot everything. I'm speaking to loan officers and branch managers right now. Imagine you forgot everything you know about this business today, right? You lost all your contacts, everything. How would you start over today? Because the next 5 years are not going to be anything but like the last five.
Right.
And I see, you know, it to your point, Brian, we're seeing a lot of migration as far as people and where they're moving. And maybe you're only licensed in California. Well, figure it out. Get the top five states and growing population and get NMLS licensed in there. And you got to start the way our mortgage world is shrinking in the form of, you know, the way we can reach across state lines and originate in other states. If you're not taking advantage of that and you're isolating yourself to one market and realtors, you're going to have a hell of a time. Like you're going to have probably the worst time amongst production and growth amongst anyone. You've got to look and read the tea leaves. Where are people going? Get out of that realtor bucket. And then you also have to start paying attention to more than your pipeline, whether it's, you know, Housing Wire or Barry Habib and MBS Highway or people like Brian Hall and David Savage, and listen to what they're saying. And then following the Fed, one thing I personally think, and a lot of people, it's not a secret, there is a growing debt bubble amongst consumers, right? We had all this post-COVID tailwind in the form of income and deferment of debts. We've got student loan payments that are reinitiating here, I believe, October 1st. And we have some stats here. Credit cards, unpaid balances up 16% year over year. Median balances on credit cards up from 4,000 to 8,000 in the last year. In the last 12 months, balances rose on credit cards by 270 billion versus the previous 30-year average of 120. We more than 2x'd our credit card balances in the last year. What I think is happening here is people, you know, ran out of their reserves at home, but they didn't curtail their spending habits and time. And we're seeing this debt bubble on the household grow. What's that going to create for you, the originator? That's going to create a debt consolidation type bubble for you. We're not there yet, right? But we're getting closer and closer on that stuff. So we also have a bunch of 3% and 4% interest rates that people are going to have a really hard time of letting go. So what do? You got to look at HELOCs. You got to look at HELOANs, other tools to get by during this period of lack of production. Maxwell Point of Sale System has a HELOC application in it designed to move those through the system and reduce error. So you've got to look out there and try and identify where that production is going to exist, you know, 3, 6, 9 months from now. and open up your boundaries. Stop being that realtor referral partner type person. I don't believe in realtors as your key source of referral partners.
Right? Go ahead. Oh, sorry, please go ahead, Chris.
I just don't believe in, I mean, that's the old way of doing things. And I have people on my team today and I bring them in and that's the way they want to do it. And I talk to them and I give them all the space in the world. And we say, okay, like, you know, do that for 3 to 6 months, show it so that it works. And it usually doesn't because realtors have the relationships and they don't want to break them up. And I say, okay, well, let's look back on what we really did here. Over the last 6 months, you went on 15 coffee dates. It's 45 minutes to get there, 30 minutes on the clock with them, 45 minutes to get home. And you had an audience of one that whole time, and maybe they're a good realtor or not. And most realtors aren't doing many transactions anyway. There's just not a lot of inventory. So rather than that, you know, 2 hours you spent for that audience of one, focus in areas like on social media platforms, maybe actually spend some money on yourself and your own business and get into Google marketing, right? It's going to be a tough learning curve. But the longer you hold off on dealing with that, you're just going to expire and then you're going to be obsolete in this market. Because there's, at today, another interesting stat. In the last 24 months, we've had about a 50% reduction in NMLS licenses. Yet today, we're still 50% over capacity on sales. There are too many lenders fighting over too few loans. And if you're playing in a sandbox that's your own zip code and that's it, good luck.
I did not realize that data. That's super interesting. Yeah, you have to diversify your lead sources. Like, yeah, if there's that many loan officers for the volume, that's pretty crazy. Do you think a lot of them are still coming, are still around from the craziness of the refi boom that we had in 2020, 2021, or just trying to hang on, or what do you think?
As soon as that refi boom ended, right, and they measure this on an annual basis when renewals come about, you saw a huge drop off in renewals. And then that was, I believe, 2021 when that started to curtail. And then in 2022, another huge drop off. I suspect here in January, we're going to see another big drop off. And in order to be qualified data on that list of NMLS loan officers, you have to have at least an average of one loan funded a month. I know plenty of people out there that aren't going to fund 12 loans this year that carry an NMLS license. Okay. And they're just not going to renew. And then that we're going to continue to see attrition there. Right. So you've, what does that mean? It's going to leave the cream of the crop left over to fight over what's left. And you have to be good. You have to be great. Your systems have to be great. Your technologies have to be great. Your operations have to be great. Oh, all by the way, you have no margin on the loan to pay for this stuff. So like you've just got to be exceptional for the next couple of years. And if you can be, and you're there at the end of it, then you're going to have a fantastic run. There is going to be another fantastic run here. You just got to, you know, don't compromise and cut corners today. You got to start looking at things like MMI. If you're a branch manager, now I'm speaking to branch managers and operators. If you don't have MMI or something comparable to MMI, and you're digging that information out of your LOS, or it's on a spreadsheet that you're emailing back and forth to different departments, you're going to get gobbled up. You've got to be able to zoom in and out as quickly as possible to be able to make those informed decisions, because you don't have the time to deliberate on decisions right now. Too much deliberation ends up in greater loss or being held back from turning the next corner.
Yeah, using data.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Chris, in using data. You know, are you taking a look at things like where the fallout is happening and how you can re-engage those borrowers or what it takes to engage those borrowers? How are you using that data yourself to look at those ways, margin and or, you know, where you're hemorrhaging money in certain areas? And are you able to use MMI or other data to look at that? And how are you game planning with it?
And real quick, I'm going to answer Emily's question. MMI is Mortgage Market Intelligence. It's a tool that's available within the Maxwell Point of Sale system, and it is fantastic. Now, Amy, your question is like, how am I using that in a use case scenario? So right now, I just popped into it. I'm under the loan report section of MMI, and what it's measuring is how many Maxwell Point of Sale links did we send out versus how many were returned. And I've got a 17.3 unopened rate, okay? And per 100 applications I send out, that means about 17 people didn't open that rate. Well, let's back it up a little bit more. I'm paying $100 to $150 per lead gen. And if I have 17 people that didn't open it, I had to spend roughly, what is that, almost $2,600. I've paid $2,600 to get them to fill out a form, get on a phone with the loan officer that I'm paying to get as far as sending out a link, and then it drops off. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I've got to get that number down as much as possible. There's no perfect number, but it's got to be better than that. And I wouldn't know that existed unless I had MMI that I can do two clicks and see that. It also gives me the ability to be like, okay, maybe from a marketing perspective, I need to put into a campaign that once it hits that milestone, as long as it's unopened, we're dripping on them with other type of marketing material to re-engage them and get that number down. That's the use of data. It could be used in marketing. It could be used in, you know, making decisions on how your operation flows, reporting, secondary, everything.
That's the hardest part too, I see, is like, yeah, people can, you can aggregate data, you can have data, but getting it into actionable things to do to change your business, it takes, you know, the people that are running the data as well as the business folks who understand what to do with it as a combination to go and execute and find results. Josiah, I would love to hear a little bit about what, you know, you behind the scenes and what you guys are building and how you give the tools to folks like Chris who can then take it and action on it. How do you guide them into finding ways to action on it?
That was exactly my next question.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the first thing is the challenge that lenders are facing in trying to get to this data. Mortgage is antiquated systems. Data engineers are not cheap, and a lot of them don't want to work in the industry. And once you find one and you bring one on and you build all of this out yourself, 6 months later, they leave and you're stuck with something that you can't use. So really what you look for as a lender is something that that is cost effective and that is going to be there with you as you continue to grow. So that's kind of like first step. Second is, once you have the team that we've assembled in place and steady and has learned the mortgage industry, that's when you can start to dig into that data and go beyond just those reports. So rather than just looking at, you know, Chris getting into the system and looking at reports and kind of finding that information itself, what we're looking at as we move forward is how we make that more proactive. Find the nuggets for Chris, get it out to him proactively so that he doesn't have to come into the systems. The other ways that we're thinking about this in the future is enabling people who don't understand how to go in and like work a report or which report to use to simply ask the questions that they want to ask. So we're working on a lot of natural language querying to be able to empower lenders to come in and just ask the question that they want to know, and we'll get the answer for you automatically. So some of the things that are coming down the pipe in our roadmap.
And I want to say one thing there, like initially you said, it's how we get to that data. Right. Like that's to me the most important thing. Cause I think like if you're, you know, a regional or an area or an operator, like you kind of know what you're looking for. Like you've ascended far enough in the ranks of mortgage profession to understand where to look for the data, but it's how you get there. And that was always a big struggle for me. It was like I had to get into, we use Encompass, that's our LOS, that's our warehouse of data. And I'd have to build a report or build a view or do this. And it's, you know, a cloud-based system, so I couldn't access it that easy and couldn't click in and out. What MMI has done is it's just made it so easy and visible, the way they present the information, so you can get to those decisions quicker. Like you're not digging in and out of an antiquated system like Encompass to, you know, aggregate all this data.
Yeah, agreed. So essentially, you know, I know we only have 2 minutes left. I did see a question about where you find the report. It looks like Josiah answered that. You know, big closing questions, you know, what out of all of this, if you, let's say Brian and Chris, if you can make a recommendation based on the data you've seen right now at something near term that would be worthwhile to focus on, what would that be?
I go back to just really thinking about your business, your lead sources and diversification. That's product, that's people, that's industries, just trying to figure out
where your leads come from, where they could come from, and failing fast at trying new things and working out to see what works. There's no harm in trying, no harm in failing. Like, do that, try fast, understand where you are not succeeding as much as you are where you are succeeding, and double down, invest. You know, treat yourself like an investor and invest your time, your resources where you need to stay with it. Because Chris is right. There's going to be a time where there's going to be a really nice wave, but you got to survive to get there. And one loan a month isn't going to quite do it.
Yeah. Chris, how about you?
Focus. If I'm a loan officer today, or I'm a branch manager, or someone making decisions on where to market production, I'm paying really close attention to the equity side of things. Again, back to HELOCs, HELOANs, and other products that are emerging to tap equity. I'm preparing campaigns today and getting tools ready for presentations on cash out debt consolidation type transactions. I am focusing on non-QM today. It's an underserved market, all right? And there's a, you know, from a bank statement borrower to DSCR loans for investors, we've seen investors make up a greater percent of home buyers in the recent past, right? So we focus a lot on that. So yeah, non-QM, and pay attention to the debt, credit cards, and debt consolidation and equity.
Thank you both. And thank you, Josiah, for giving us a little more insight into that. And Tony is going to hop back in here, but I want all of you to know that we will send a link to the report that we pulled for this, the Q2 2023 lending report. And with that, Tony, we'll hand it back over to you. Thank you guys for joining me today.
Thank you guys so much. That was engaging. I felt myself like leaning in, trying to listen intently to everything that you were saying. So thank you for that great information. Yes, as Amy just said, there will be an email that comes out tomorrow, follow up. There will be a link to this video as well as a link to the report. And thank you again for your time today. Thanks for coming by TMC Connect. Stop by anytime. And Maxwell and team and Chris, thank you guys so much for your time today as well. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, thank you. Guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.